Welcome to the Bald Move TV podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for all the TV. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
Am I getting less enthusiastic with that intro every time?
I don't think so. Right. But I
hope that will not detract from the rest of the show, which I'm going to be super enthusiastic about.
I will say that I'm concerned that you oversold us, because far from talking about all the television, we're just talking about the Emmys.
Well, the Emmys is really all the television, right?
True.
I mean, if you're going to say this is a snapshot of television this year, it's the Emmys.
Right. And our last TV podcast, kind of a shit show. I called Steven Soderbergh Brian Soderbergh.
Yep, yep.
I said that. It was on Sunday nights when it's on the Nick is actually on Friday nights.
Yep.
There's probably other sins that I could apologize for. I have seen the first two episodes of Nick, and I'm totally in love with it. But
we're
very limited in time today.
Yeah.
Have a whole lot of the leftover shenanigans going on. But we need to squeeze in some Emmy talk.
Definitely.
What did you think of the Emmys? First of all, let's break it down into two different things. What did you think of the Emmys as just general takes of the results? Did you have any axes to grind? Did you have any things that you were just completely fucking upset about? Or and also,
you know, not really.
Same way. Like, I kind of think it's bullshit the Modern Family won dominated some of the comedy categories, but I can't really get that worked up about
they
the comedy.
They always win. And I will talk about the idea that, you know,
let's
the
talk
Emmys
about
are
that.
The Emmys.
Okay, before we get that, what did you think about the entertainment of the show itself?
So Seth Meyers is a host. Kind of weak.
Really?
Like, okay, but when Jimmy Kimmel came out, that completely changed my opinion of what the Emmys could be, because he was hilarious and spontaneous sounding and just right on with the tone I wanted for the Emmys.
Could you stand 3 hours of him, though? Because he is this energy, you know, awkward, just goofball. And I just wonder if you need a Seth who's kind of more staid and steady and can definitely do the straight man routine. But I felt like that he had a lot of synergy with the guests. Like, all, you know, he came alive when, like, he got Amy Poehler up there.
Amy Poehler, yeah. You can tell they're friends.
Andy Samberg.
Yeah, yeah.
When he got, shit, you just mentioned Jimmy.
Jimmy Kimmel? Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel's not the, you're talking Jimmy Kimmel. I thought you were talking about.
What did you think I was talking about?
The other late night guy on NBC.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay, yes. Yeah. I'm talking about Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel felt loose and just good on stage.
No, he totally would
be
good.
I'm a fucking comedian. I do stand-up all the time.
No.
I'm good on stage.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you were talking about... you said Jimmy Kimmel. I heard Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's
no.
The goofball kind of thing. No, you're right. He totally could do that.
He nailed it in tone, in my opinion.
But it's a lot easier to come in and just kill on a presentation than it is to crush 3 hours. I believe
for sure
Jimmy Kimmel has hosted the Emmys, actually.
He probably has. Yeah. I don't know. See, I've never been a big Emmy guy up until this year because, you know, it's the last year of Breaking Bad, my favorite show. I want to see it win all the Emmys.
Right.
And it basically did.
Yeah, that's – and honestly, I don't – historically, I've not paid much attention to Emmys because I feel like they are, of all the award shows, the most kind of bullshit.
Sure.
Just in the consistency, just in the nomination process.
Well, we've had some pretty bad TV in past years. It's only getting to the point now where – I feel like the Emmys are worth a damn because there's just so much good TV that how can you really go wrong awarding Breaking Bad versus True Detective, right?
Yeah.
If it had gone to Woody Harrelson, I'm talking about, you know, outstanding actor, just kind of a big category there. If it had gone to Woody Harrelson or Matthew McConaughey,
I wouldn't have been mad.
Not a problem.
Yeah. Whereas last year,
I think Bryan Cranston deserved it.
Whereas last year when Jeff Daniels won for his work on The Newsroom over, that made my head explode.
Sure. There was no reason for that.
So there wasn't nearly as many bad results. I thought it was fairly entertaining. I thought it was really funny/edgy, the fact that Seth was continually taking shots at NBC and network TV in general.
Yeah.
And talk, you know, it's like that one thing he said as he segged to a commercial, and now something that the networks have that cable and internet and Netflix don't, commercials. Like,
yeah,
he's perfectly illustrating what their problem is. This industry that's dying, I guess.
Kind
of. Is broadcast TV going to die?
Yeah, cable's just taken it all over. Cable, streaming. I mean, look at how many Netflix Emmys were nominated. Tons of those.
Right.
HBO, of course, always for the last 14 years, I think, now.
Yeah.
Being the biggest network at the Emmys.
Sure. Were you entertained by the Weird Al montage of songs?
Not so much. Weird Al, I like.
I like Weird Al.
But I felt like this concert was a little out of place.
It's hard to make something out of Mad Men and Scandal and... Yes. Game of Thrones was by far the most successful, I thought, the ending,
yeah.
Just because
yeah.
there was more to sink your teeth into, and I think it was by far the longest, and the touch of giving George Martin a typewriter, I found he surprisingly gracefully took that joke, because I feel like he's getting increasingly prickly about that
yeah,
line
yeah.
of inquiry.
Write as fast as you can. I liked Weird Al Yankovic's lines while they were doing that, but I felt most of it was... very sloppily put together. Like, I don't know how long Weird Al usually takes to make a song.
Uh-huh.
But this felt like they gave him the list of shows in the green room and just said, come up with some lyrics, man.
Whatever you can do, man.
Yeah, we got some music for you. Just write the lyrics. Because none of it really rhymed, and none of it was... Like, the jokes were there, but they weren't very well realized, I felt,
yeah.
in the lyrics themselves.
I felt like most of my enjoyment stemmed from the fact that they handed George Martin an actual typewriter, and
yeah.
I have such immense affection for Weird Al.
Yes, yeah, and he really went for the Valar Morghulis at the end.
Yeah.
He really went for that, so good on him.
Did you... any other particular pairings? What'd you think of...
Oh, Cranston making out with Julia Louis-Dreyfus was amazing.
And the setup where they
yeah,
they
yeah.
introduced a category and she denied even being working with him before.
Yep.
Before
yep.
he's famous. I thought that was pretty epic.
And speaking of going for it, Jesus, they went for it.
Yeah, they did. It would have been... It's like if it had just been a quick peck, it wouldn't have been anything.
Yeah.
If it had been like a 2 or 3 second kiss, it... But it's like one of those things where they went past the point it got uncomfortable and kept going until
yep.
it got really funny.
Yep.
And, you know, Cranston, I don't know if you guys got to see, I'll post it in the show notes, but him and Aaron Paul and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jesus.
Minnie Louis-Dreyfus.
Shut the fuck up. Julia Louis-Dreyfus did a very funny skit called... what was it? Barely Legal Pawn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
Where, you know, Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston were running a pawn shop, and Julie is trying to pawn her Emmy, and there's this lot. There's Breaking Bad references and props that's in the pawn shop. There's all this
yep.
kind of tension between comedy versus drama and mm-hmm. leading versus supporting.
And they play these... crazy characters, these crazy
insane.
Redneck, yeah.
And then you think at the end they're going to go for the classic Breaking Bad, and they then it's like, oh, I started to groan, and they have a twist. I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm trying to think what else. If Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey on stage together.
Yeah,
they both looked like they fucking fell asleep on the beach. I mean, their tans
uh-huh.
were a little
yep.
burny, and then they're just like, oh fuck, we got to get to the Emmys.
I like their suits, though.
Their suits were amazing.
You can't talk about the Emmys without talking about fashion, apparently.
Jimmy Kimmel going hard after Matthew McConaughey, and the fact mm-hmm. that his, you know, he just won an Oscar, now he wants an Emmy,
yeah.
and then that kind of led into going pretty hard after, who's the guy in Derek? You know,
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais is the fact that he's the only Brit that makes the trip over the pond,
yeah, yeah.
and he perennially gets shut out was very self-deprecating and funny.
Yeah, yeah, especially when you see that Sherlock won some stuff. So
yeah.
it's like, or not the show Sherlock, but I think like a movie, TV movie Sherlock or something.
Well, that's the thing. There's a cat, you know, is I guess Sherlock, it's only like 2 or 3 episodes, so they considered it a movie instead of a miniseries, but I felt like there's a little bit of jockeying there. That's where the Emmys falls apart. For example...
Categories.
HBO submitting True Detective in the main drama category rather
well,
than the miniseries.
We see how that worked out for them, right?
Well, but they were talking about that on, I think, Bill Simmons' podcast, how that's like a baller move. That's HBO saying, we got 99 nominations. We're going to fucking take it to you in a cat. We could dominate this goddamn category. We could kick Fargo's asses in, which is really our only serious competition over here.
Sure.
But we're going to go against Breaking Bad's Swan Song, knowing we're probably going to lose, but still having they. I feel like there was a lot of people widely predicting Matthew McConaughey would win over Bryan Cranston.
Sure.
That's super hard. And I went back and forth because...
Yeah, that's not a bonus for them, putting that show in that category.
No, it was they basically, it was like fighting with one hand behind their back, and they almost, it felt like they almost won.
It did, yeah.
In fact, they did steal the direction away from the Villigan. That would have been a total sweep if Villigan had won for the direction of Felina.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said before, I wouldn't have minded if they won, right? It's not like... Bryan Cranston was heads and shoulders above everyone else.
No.
I think he had the best character to go on. He had the best pedigree going into that. He had, in my opinion, the best performance.
If McConaughey or Harrelson, and for that matter, if Pizzolatto had won for writing over whoever, I forget the woman, one of the staff writers for Breaking Bad.
Moira Wally Beckett?
Yeah, the one who wrote Ozymandias, which is... top 10 television of all time, I wouldn't have been too pissed, honestly. I couldn't have gotten up for it. I do think that's a correct result, because if you have two actors like McConaughey and Cranston, and they go head-to-head, and they're both brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
McConaughey's already won an Oscar this year, and this is kind of like you have the full weight of all the seasons of Breaking Bad behind it. Sure. It's hard to throw yourself in front of that train.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be partial, to be non-partial on this, right?
Certainly. It's easy for me because I'm a huge fan of both. But honestly, I felt like...
five seasons of Breaking Bad stacked up against one season of the show.
Yeah.
It's hard not to account for those other 4 years of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's partially made up by the letters H, B, and O. But...
sure.
So let's kind of just go through these. The programs, Outstanding Comedy Series, which is a category I don't really give a shit about. We're not really talking snubs. We've already kind of talked snubs in a previous podcast episode. Yeah. Modern Family won.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's bitching. I don't watch it anymore. I watched the first couple seasons. It was okay. I can tell you that I don't think I would put, if it's that's its prime, I would not put that over Louis or Orange is the New Black. And I think you would stump for both Silicon Valley and Veep.
No, I think it might be better than Veep based on what I saw in the first couple seasons of it.
Okay.
But like I've said before, I don't totally get Veep. But Louis and Silicon Valley, I haven't seen Orange is the New Black. I hear good things. But over Louis and Silicon Valley, no.
I mean, it doesn't, like, first off, it's a network competing against two very... I mean, you got a Netflix show that's got, a lot more high... I think it's got better production values, mm-hmm. Better acting, better writing, better direction. Louis, the same thing. The fact that this is very, artistic work that he... It's a labor of love. He handcrafts these episodes.
I mean, what are the Emmys?
All
the
else
Emmys...
being equal, I always try to go with which one is more important.
Yeah.
And Louis
Modern Family has been around for 7 years now doing the same thing over and over again.
And is it going to be important? What is it doing? I mean, it's got a gay couple on it, and that's kind of progressive, and that's why it's talked about Modern Family, the different types of families.
But look at Orange is the New Black.
No shit. I mean, it's like an all-female cast ran by a female showrunner.
So if that's your criteria, Modern Family loses there.
Yeah, and Louis is... Again, there's nothing like it on television, and they're probably, I mean, I don't know, maybe people, I hear on some different podcasts that there are some comics coming and basically going to some of these third tier cable channels and saying, I want the Louis deal, pay me $200,000 an episode, but I want complete creative control.
Yeah.
If that ushers in a whole, golden age of comedy television, that's an awesome gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get worked up about it.
That's the thing. Like, I don't care about this category much, and I haven't seen Modern Family in 5 years or so.
Right.
So what do I know?
Outstanding drama series. You got Breaking Bad, who won, obviously, up against Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Mad Men, True Detective. House of Cards and Downton Abbey, I feel like don't belong. They're not at that same
tier. We
got to
fill out the category.
Sure, sure.
And what do we got? Downton Abbey and House of Cards. Good. Done.
And I know that there's a lot of people talking about how some shows kind of got snubbed, you know, to make room for House of Cards and Downton Abbey. Whatever. It's really between Mad Men, True Detective, Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad.
Yep.
Again, all those shows are excellent in a variety of ways, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue against the weight of Breaking Bad.
I don't feel like I normally have four solid choices from any given category.
Right.
And this one I definitely did this year.
I don't give a shit about Outstanding Variety Series. I'm fine with Colbert winning.
Over The Daily Show?
Yeah, I've long preferred the Colbert Report to The Daily Show. And I think that it's competition with Saturday Night Live and Jimmy, and to a lesser extent, Jimmy Kimmel Live. But Real Time with Bill Maher and Saturday Night Live, it's real competition. Saturday Night Live had an excellent season, I thought, with a bunch of fresh faces. It's a real transition year, and I thought it was really funny. Kate McKinnon, especially. I'm going to kind of get worked up about that she lost.
I haven't seen any of it. Speaking of comedy and variety series, though, Key and Peele not nominated anywhere. In that, huh?
No, you're right. There weren't. They did get a really funny...
That's weird.
Really funny presentation, though.
They did. Yeah, that was good. That struck me very much like Laurel and Hardy, sort of.
Very.
Or like, even down to
this,
first,
even down
stuff.
To this, one's chubby, one's skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, God damn it, I don't know which one is which to this day. But the chubby one is a little overblown, because he's actually fairly svelte himself these days.
Oh, okay.
Whichever one that is.
The camera adds 1,000 pounds, right?
I guess. Outstanding miniseries. Fargo, definitely a miniseries, right? Because it's going to come back with an entirely new cast. American Horror Story, mostly the same cast, but they have completely different plots and their stories are not connected either way. That's obviously a miniseries. Don't even know what the fuck Bonnie and Clyde are.
There's one called Bitchcraft, in my understanding.
That was the name of an episode, a particular episode from last season.
Okay.
Tremé, what is Tremé doing in this miniseries category?
It's a series, right?
It is a straight out series.
How many seasons does that have now?
I think that was his final one at 6. Had 10 episodes in it, I believe.
Okay. I'll ask you what
the
hell.
No, it's 4 seasons, 36 episodes.
What the hell is the show from Starz doing in this?
I don't know.
Category.
I have not seen the white. I've never
heard
of it.
We're just short on miniseries.
I've heard of Bonnie and Clyde. I've not heard. And I've resolved to. I've got to watch. Luther. After Sherlock and Luther, I've got to see Before Christmas.
Yeah,
they're both very short. They're both have huge pedigrees. You know, I got Idris Elba. I got to see it. There's no excuse.
Yep.
So anyway, Fargo won, and I believe probably Head and Shoulders, it was the best one.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Outstanding television movie, I don't really give a shit. I think it's kind of
bullshit.
The
Normal Heart, I don't know how it would go any other way, honestly. I've seen Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight. It was okay. Not fantastic. I haven't seen the Sherlock movie.
No, and I want to see Sherlock, but I have a hard time. Why is it a movie? It's a 3-4 episode series?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like that's a perfect example of a miniseries, and it's in television because it didn't want to get steamrolled by Fargo.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that.
Outstanding reality, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, don't care.
Go into acting things. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. Jim Parson, Sheldon Cooper.
Wins.
He always wins. He's definitely talented. He makes the show. I never really liked the show, and I especially don't care about it in the last couple seasons.
Sure.
Hard to believe, though, he beat Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. He beat Ricky Gervais, who does excellent work on Derek. I don't get Derek. Derek is uncomfortable for me to watch, but he does brilliant work.
Yeah.
I've not seen Shameless, and I've not seen episodes, although
yeah,
I think Matt LeBlanc's
like
a funny guy.
I feel like I would like Shameless with
sure.
William H. Macy. He's hilarious.
Super surprised to see Don Cheadle in House of Lies. I did not consider that a comedy drama.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I've never seen it.
Me either. I know our buddy Nick was a big fan of it. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for her Vice President Selena Meyer in Veep.
Yeah.
I hear good things about that. But again,
against Amy Poehler, it's like... Yeah, I don't know how the latest season of Parks and Rec was.
It's brilliant, and it always is. And I don't have a problem with her winning over Taylor Schilling as Piper from Orange and New Black, because I don't particularly like that role or character.
Lena Dunham?
Lena Dunham is very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed last season of Girls. I really hope I can find some way to cover that next year, maybe with a rotating list cast of all-star women. We'll see. Nurse Jackie's way off my radar. Yeah, I have a giant Nurse Mike Jackie slash The Good Wife.
Yeah, The Good Wife winning some stuff here, but I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah. So, but I feel like I'm in good company, because I feel like a lot of Emmy voters probably haven't seen half this shit either, which is why you get shit like Modern Family winning over Louis.
Yeah.
Outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Bryan Cranston won. Boom. Crucially for Ozymandias.
That's the episode you submit.
As
I posted on Twitter, greatest hour of television ever made.
Wow. I don't know that I can get behind it. Top five, certainly. Probably top three.
Like, not standalone, certainly, but when you take into account all five seasons of that show.
Yeah, it's all standing
on
that.
And it's all poured into that 1 hour. That's amazing.
The fact that Jeff Daniels is nominated for The Newsroom is that's just...
I haven't seen the latest season of that.
And I like The Newsroom.
Who else would you put in there?
I mean, if you're going to put him in, you might as well
Steve Buscemi?
You might as well put Stephen Moyer from True Blood. I mean, they're both the same level of schlock.
Oh, my God.
And bullshit fiction.
Okay, I don't agree with that. Who would you put in there instead of Jeff Daniels?
I don't really want to talk about snubs and stuff. I'm just saying that's a farce. John Hamm. So
he's never going to get a chance until
next
this
year.
Yeah. Coming up, this year's Mad Men is going
he's
to be...
He's got one more year, too.
His only chance.
I don't know. He's got another year.
Oh, they're splitting it, aren't they?
Yeah. So... Shit.
Okay. So he's got 2 years, but he's got to win. At some point.
He's never won one. How can you go? I mean, it happened
but
to The Wire.
Because Bryan Cranston was in the mix.
Right. It's just like the Patriots and the Colts, you know?
Sure.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
But
no
you're
idea.
Going against John Hamm, Woody Harrelson, and Matthew McConaughey, all of which are, I would have no problem if they won. That would not be a travesty.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey winning.
Would
not be a travesty, but it would not be fair. Jeff Daniels winning would be a travesty. What did you think of Brian's acceptance speech? What did you think of Brian's mustache?
So I love Brian's mustache and his hair.
Yeah.
The combination was perfect. And
it looked like a throwback. Like, that could have been a black and white telecast, and I'd have been like, yeah, he belongs there.
And most people would feel ridiculous with a get-up like that, with a mustache and a haircut like that, but... Bryan Cranston doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Bryan Cranston. He is such a genuine human being in everything he does, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
That I just have this natural attraction to him. So
even when he's a sneaky little Pete.
Yeah. That's part of what made him the person he is today.
Yeah.
You know? And he seems like a genuinely awesome person. I thought the combination of Aaron Paul, Anna Gunn, and Bryan Cranston winning these Emmys and giving similar speeches really showed the connection that cast has and why that was such a well-made show.
Indeed.
And I think one of the most emotional parts, even above the Robin Williams stuff that they did later on, was Aaron Paul giving that speech and pointing out Bryan Cranston and saying, "You've been my mentor. You've shown me so much on screen and off." That's super important to me. And I thought was a moment in the Emmys that felt really good.
And Bryan giving him the dap back when he gave his acceptance speech.
Bryan Cranston's sitting there tearing up while he's saying
seriously.
It, and you can tell.
Seriously, one of the things I'm really excited about going to the Breaking Bad Fest, if I can plug that a little bit.
Throwing a pizza.
That we're going to be moderating a panel with some of the, not Bryan Cranston's of the world, but like some of this other, the supporting players, like Stephen Michael Cazeta, the cousins. And I'm wondering, was there like a big kids table? Or was there there's an adults table, a big kids table, and a kids table? Or did they feel that same kind of, did they run to the set? Did they hang out there the days they weren't shooted? Was it just a job for them? Like, at what level did that stop becoming special and start becoming just a job? Like, does every cameraman feel the same way?
Sure.
Did the set dressers feel the same way? Like, where
stars?
Because sometimes you, like, you know, when I'm watching the making of the Lord of the Rings films, it seems like it never stopped with anyone. Like, every fucking person down through the least, you know, down to the little Indian dudes that are the body doubles for the hobbits was like fucking amped up and all about it. Down to the set dressers, the guys that are putting the twigs in the elvish dells and stuff. They all were about it. And I wonder if Breaking Bad was one of those things where they were just able to infect everyone with that.
That's the impression that I get. But
and
I don't
when
know
did it become so? Was it like that in season one and two, or did this thing forge sometime? Like, I feel like my passion for Breaking Bad really was forged in season three and four.
Yeah.
I liked it. I was definitely intrigued. I definitely, you know, was watching it, but it didn't occur to me to think of it as the best television ever until seasons three and four and on.
Sure. The reports I get and the idea that, you know, they kept Aaron Paul on in season one when they were just going to kill him in like episode two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of says to me that there was kind of a relationship between everyone from the beginning.
Right.
Not just, you know, oh, we're popular now, so
sure,
we're having fun with this.
Yeah. For outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Juliana Margulis. How do you pronounce her name? Fuck you.
Margulis. Yeah, Margulis is hilarious, though.
Juliana Margulis.
What does that mean?
All Julianas must die, I think.
Yep, I think so.
She got for The Good Wife again. I've got a huge... I never thought she was that great on ER. Her acting seems like it's not acting.
I've never seen any of these except for Robin Wright's stuff in House Cards.
So I it's hard for me to believe that this show is better than... She's better in it than Lizzie Kaplan and the pilot episode of Masters of Sex, or the first season.
Oh, I guess I haven't seen that one.
Hard for me to believe that she's better than Claire Danes in any given episode of Homeland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Michelle Dockery, another one that she seems like she's acting and not acting at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Kerry Washington, add Scandal to my black hole list. Robin Wright did excellent work. They submitted her for the final episode when I feel like her best work came a few episodes before that when she went through her rape/abortion sexual assault scandal.
Yeah, I was talking with reporters and confessing that on air.
Why did they submit that particular episode, I wonder? Did that hurt her?
I'm sure it did.
Outstanding lead actor in a miniseries or movie, Benedict Cumberbund won for Sherlock Holmes, His Last Vow.
They snubbed old Bill Bob Thornton, huh?
Yeah, he beat over
Martin Freeman.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, I believe is how you pronounce it. Uh-huh. Who's famous for his 12 Years a Slave performance. I've never seen Dancing on Edge.
Neither have I.
Idris Elba is a phenomenal actor. Mm-hmm. On Luther, he beat dethroned Martin Freeman for playing Lester Nygaard on Fargo.
Yeah.
And Billy Bob Thornton as Lorne. I haven't seen Sherlock. I've heard this was the least, you know, Sepinwall says this was the least of the miniseries or least of the seasons of Sherlock.
Okay.
And he managed to win over those two that I know knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be more outraged if I had seen Sherlock. I'm not taking anything
Maybe.
Away from Sherlock.
I just haven't seen it. I can't say that he's not as good as Martin Freeman or Billy Bob. Also, I mean, Mark Ruffalo definitely deserves to be nominated in that category.
Certainly over his cousin, Mark Buffalo.
Yeah. Mark Buffalo has no business being in any category.
No, he does not. Outstanding lead actress in a miniseries or movie. I was surprised to see Jessica Lange win for her character Fiona on American Horror Story.
Uh-huh.
Coven. I thought that she was phenomenal.
I haven't seen any of these shows. None of them.
But on the other hand, the only one that I would pull for over her is Kristen Wiig from The Spoils of Babylon. Did you see that?
No.
This fake joke miniseries that Will Ferrell and Tobey Maguire and Kristen Wiig put on.
No.
Oh, and they're coming back for a sequel. It's man, we're gonna have to do a Bald Move TV segment on that.
All right, sounds interesting.
But it's I just. I just it's funny because you know, me and Seth are gonna be doing American Horror Story freak show when it comes out, and you know, you can't make fun of us like you do on True Blood because it's actually an Emmy nominated, Emmy winning.
No, I'm still gonna make fun of you. Sorry.
Supporting performances: outstanding supporting actor in a comedy role. Ty Burrell won as the dad on Modern Family, right?
Sure.
Beating out Fred Armistead on a really exceptional Portlandia season.
And Tony Hale and Veep.
Adam
Driver, even.
Andre Brauer, as I think that's how you pronounce it, who's most famous for his work on Homicide, yeah, yeah. But as the gay captain on Brooklyn Nine-Nine was hysterical by being completely relentlessly deadpan.
Yeah. No, it was great. Playing against Andy Samberg. And the antics that he gets up to, as evidenced at the Emmys. God, when he did that Joffrey.
Wait.
That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Behind Lena Headey.
Sure. But I, that's one that I could potentially be outraged by, but it's a comedy thing, and it's the Emmys, so whatever.
Sure.
Outstanding supporting actress in the comedy series, Allison, it's Janney, right?
I suppose
on a show called Mom that I've never even fucking seen.
Yeah.
And she beats out Mayim Bialik as the really nerdy girl on Big Bang Theory. Yeah. She beats out Julie Bowen.
Yeah, I think it's Bowen
on Modern Family. Loved her on Boston Legal. Loved her on Happy Gilmore. Indifferent about her on Modern Family.
Yeah.
Anna Chlumsky on Veep, and the one that I was kind of outraged by is Kate McKinnon, who I thought was the funniest person on Saturday Night Live I've seen in a long time. Lots of really memorable characters. They gave her, like, she's got this Russian expatriate character that she plays in the Weekend Update segments that's just fucking hilarious.
And that's really difficult to do, right? Variety series, I think, are inherently more difficult.
Yeah.
Than just finding a role that fits you.
Sure.
Because you have to be all sorts of different people.
And Kate Mulgrew, who might... Because this is for season one of Orange is the New Black. Don't forget that.
Specifically the episode Tit Punch.
Yes. So
I'm always amused by the titles of those.
I don't know that she's got a better shot to win next year because I don't feel like... I don't know if she had as much nuance... This season, I guess it's about the same. She's probably got about the same chance, except for this is going to be a loaded category with so many of the women from Orange and the New Black. I feel like they could nominate three next year.
Sure.
Uzza Aduba is the only one that won this, and she won on the previous week for guest star, which, again, how the fuck was she considered a guest star?
How many episodes was
all
she
of them?
All of them? Well, fuck that.
Fuck this bullshit.
Yeah.
Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Aaron Paul.
Of course.
And also he's nominated
Peter Dinklage looked a little perturbed.
Well, here's the thing. Aaron Paul was hardly in the last season of Breaking Bad.
And certainly
the last half of the last season, which was being considered. But his Confessions episode, which they showed a good snippet of, was volcanic work. I would not have been outraged if Pete Dinklage had won for Tyrion because that
not
court,
at all.
The Laws of God and Man, the courtroom scene was awesome. He was great throughout the whole season.
If you're going to take one episode into account, I feel like Peter Dinklage maybe deserved that.
And I don't know that Aaron Paul, if you submit the whole body of work, because again, he was a bit player. He was a supporting character in the final season.
Though I do recognize that Aaron Paul has done excellent work.
Every time he's on screen, it was excellent. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just saying those guys are like neck and neck, and either one would have satisfied me.
Jim Carter, who is the butler on Downton Abbey, he does great work. But again, I don't know.
Forgettable role, right?
That's not forgettable, but I don't think it's the same thing as he's done excellent work in previous seasons. But I just don't feel like. That it's show is relevant the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
All apologies to Kelly and Tom on Up Yours Downstairs. Mandy Patinkin as Saul, excellent, but not better than Aaron Paul and John Voight on Ray Donovan. Whatever. I haven't seen Ray Donovan.
Neither have I.
He looks scary.
Yep.
Anna Gunn for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. She did
That's
excellent work
for sure. And with some fairly nuanced material,
some challenging material. Like, yeah, she had to lose her shit several different times. She had to portray stark raving fear. I thought that she did excellent work as Skylar White, and obviously the Academy did too.
I do feel like either Lena Headey or Christina Hendricks could have taken this as well.
What the hell did Joan do last year?
That's the problem, right? Like, I think she's done excellent work on Mad Men, but that was...
Submitted for The Strategy. I don't even remember which particular episode that was.
I'm not sure either. I'm not good with those names of episodes. But I think, you know, overall in Mad Men, she has done some great work this year. I don't know that she was that involved, but Lena Headey had some really tough stuff to do in Game of Thrones. And I feel like she's pulled it off excellently, and I don't think it would have been too big of a snub to Anna Gunn to give that to Lena Headey.
Yeah, I think...
Even though I feel like Anna definitely deserved it.
I think this is the one where she turned down Bob. And that's an okay scene, but, you know, again...
But that's more about Bob, too. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's again, not necessarily what she's doing, what he's doing to her, it's what she's doing to him.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Also, you've got Christine Baranski as a person I have no idea who is off The Good Wife. Joanna Froggatt, who, if anyone deserved an Emmy nomination, she did in this last season with her whole arc of being sexually assaulted and raped and the fallout of that. I thought that was handled surprisingly well. Mm-hmm. And she did surprisingly brutal work on a PBS show. So... Maybe you give it the nod to her, but again, Anna Gunn.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad, it's their year. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Miniseries or a Movie. Martin Freeman won for Dr. Watson on Sherlock, His Last Vow.
Okay.
Over Matt Bomer as Felix Turner on The Normal Heart. Colin Hanks as Officer Gus.
This is the Normal Heart category, a.k.a. the Normal Heart category. 4 out of 6 of the nominees.
Yeah.
Are so from The Normal Heart.
How did Martin Freeman win for this and not Lester Nygaard?
I guess people like Sherlock more.
But it was. Yeah, you're right. Joe Mantello. Alfred Molina.
And Jim Parsons, obviously, from Big Bang Theory.
Right, right. Also, and I had not seen The Normal Heart. Have you?
I haven't either. I really wanted to check that out. But
well, we got HBO Go. It's not too late.
Yep.
But I don't, you know... So I can't comment on that, but I do know that Colin Hanks was hella good.
Yeah,
he was. Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Miniseries or a Movie. Kathy Bates won for her role as a super racist Southern plantation owner on American Horror Story.
All right.
Over Angela Bassett. There's some racial travesty stuff going on there on the same show. Ellen Burstyn over Flowers of the Attic. Haven't seen that. Frances Conroy as Myrtle Snow. What the fuck? What the fuck? Come on. I like that show, and I actually like that character, but what the hell?
Two nominations for American Horror Story, Coven.
Julia Roberts, slumming in television on The Normal Heart. And Alison Tolman. That's the one I was really hoping would win.
Man.
And I like Kathy Bates. I like Angela Bassett. I like all these people, but Alison Tolman, I think, did the best, most solid work, and I love Fargo. So
it's so hard for me to say. I haven't seen American Horror Story, Coven, and that is literally half the nominees.
I have. It's a ridiculous show.
You know what? I haven't seen any of these other than Fargo, and I think Alison Tolman did a fantastic job playing Molly, but I don't have anything to compare it to in that category.
All right. For directing, Outstanding Director for Comedy Series, Modern Family, directed by Gael Mancuso, won over Glee, Who Cares, Louie, directed by Louie, Orange is the New Black, directed by Jodie Foster. That's an interesting pedigree, hard to argue against.
Is there Silicon a show Valley called directed Episodes by, in this?
Yeah, it's one that Matt LeBlanc's in, the Joey from Friends.
Okay, yeah.
And the Silicon Valley, directed by Mike Judge. Again, Modern Family wins over direction.
Is Minimum Viable Product the last episode in Silicon Valley's run?
I don't know. You're the one.
They submitted the wrong episode.
Okay. Well, you looked that up.
No, it's the pilot.
Hmm.
Interesting. I don't think the pilot was nearly as funny as the season finale.
But Mike Judge is a big name. He was a creator of that show, right? Maybe he...
He's just leaning on that.
He wasn't directing all the episodes, probably, I'm assuming.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
For drama series, True Detective...
No, he also directed...
All of them?
The finale.
Oh, the finale.
The finale, at least,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, then they submitted the wrong episode. They did. They
in went, my opinion, yeah.
They
definitely.
Went and pulled a House of Cards on us.
Yep.
Outstanding directing for a drama series. True Detective won for the episode Who Goes There, directed by Cary Joji Fukunaga.
Yeah.
That, you know, you say that Ozymandias was the best hour. This had the best 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And I remember the next day after seeing that, I was evangelical. Like, you were kind of like, yeah, I want to get the True Detective. I'm you got to fucking get the True Detective.
Yeah, get to this scene.
There is something here that just grab you by the balls and not let go. I've not seen anything like it. And the level of effort and skill from everyone involved.
But specifically in this category, directing in that scene, that's...
I mean, he's the guy he's the quarterback of this particular operation.
Yeah.
And he threw a touchdown.
And we compared it to The Watchers on the Wall. When we talked about The Watchers on the Wall with Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
we said, look, Watchers on the Wall is not as good
right.
of a directing feat as this episode. Go look
right.
at it. And, of course, it won.
Right.
I think that's the right pick.
No, I mean...
Breaking Bad had some nice moments in Felina.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire, Farewell Daddy Blues. I love that show.
Yeah.
That's a great episode, directed by Tim Van Patten. Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan got denied for Felina, which that wasn't even the best episode
with.
Of the season.
Yep.
Downton Abbey for episode one, which is bullshit, by David Evans. Game of Thrones, Watchers of the Wall, not the best episode of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Submitted for Neil Marshall at House of Cards, chapter 14, which is the... Season 2 premiere?
Yeah, the premiere of season 2.
Very puzzling. The first and last episodes were not the best episodes, but those got the majority of the submissions, directed by Carl Franklin. Again,
yeah,
I'm not stumping for it because I don't think anyone should have won over Cary.
Sure.
Very interesting choice of hair.
Mm-hmm.
The twin pigtails with the suit and with the tux.
Looking a little like James Franco during Spring Breakers.
Little Spring Breakers, you're right. not sure about that. And he also, by far, gave the worst acceptance speech.
Spring Break.
Like a lot of these people get up and like, oh, I should have prepared for this. But I believed it. I don't think he thought for 1 minute that he might win this.
Why not, though?
I don't know. He looks incredibly young, too. Like, both him
Nick
Pizzolatto are, like, fucking kids, man.
That's good. They're making some of the best shit out there, too.
Great, great. Bring it on season 2, boys. Although, Cary's not going to be back for that.
Hmm.
Let's see. Outstanding directing for a variety special. Do not give a shit.
It was basically all award shows.
The Tony Award. Yeah.
Like, we're giving awards to other award shows. What is this meta
That's
bullshit?
A conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Outstanding director for miniseries, movies, or dramatic special. That is a wide net to cast. And Fargo won for Burden's Ass, which I believe is the one in the snowstorm.
I think so, yeah.
By Colin Buxey.
Which means good choice.
Yeah, no, it was.
Because that took some balls to do it the way they did it.
And it's just incredibly well done. And I just, yeah, it's a great episode. I feel like it definitely deserved the win, although I do not understand this category. American Horror Story nominated Bitchcraft, directed by Alfonso Gomez Rijon.
Bitchcraft, huh?
Fargo got nominated for The Crocodile's Dilemma, which is another All good right. one, by Adam Bernstein. Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight, directed by Stephen Frears. Normal Heart by Ryan Murphy. And Sherlock by Nick Horan. You know, I don't have much to say about that
mm-hmm.
other than go Fargo. Writing, outstanding writing for comedy series. Louis won for Louis up
yep.
against episodes by David Crane and Jeffrey Cleric. Orange is the New Black. I Wasn't Ready by Liz Friedman and Jinji Cohen. Silicon Valley written by Alec Berg. And Veep written by fucking what? Simon Blackwell, Armando Anuki, and Tony Roche.
So, all right, a lot of people winning that Emmy. Yeah, you're gonna have to melt three it down for one, and make bracelets out of it.
Split
or something.
It up three ways by like King Solomon. You get the globe, and you get the wings, and you get the now surprisingly Oscar-looking statue.
Yeah, so this is the season finale of Silicon Valley, and I feel like the writing in that, man, it's hard to say
if the writing is what did it.
Yeah, it's hard to say if the writing is what did it or if the acting that pulled off the writing.
Was that the one with
it.
The epic dick joke? It is. Dick scene?
It is, and it is fantastic. Have all you right. seen it?
No, I have not seen. That's on my list.
Yeah, keep that on your list.
But it's below Sherlock and Luther. So
the problem is I haven't seen the last season of Louis.
Yeah.
So I don't know how So Did the Fat Lady went.
Hmm. Outstanding writing for a drama series. Well, this wasn't for this episode of Louis. It was for the previous episode, wasn't it?
Previous season, yeah.
Previous season. Outstanding writing for drama series, Breaking Bad for Ozymandias by sure. Moria Wally
I
Beckett.
I think if that doesn't win, something's gone wrong. I do like that Breaking Bad is nominated twice.
Yeah, but she beat up on Vince Gilligan, so she got bragging rights. Game of Thrones, The Children, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. I remember being puzzled because that's also not the best script of this season, yeah. But it is the one that had the most original content. I almost wonder if the double Ds got a little full of themselves. House of Cards for the episode one of season two, written by Bo Williman.
That's also the premiere, yeah.
Yeah, again, I
it's interesting.
I don't get it. True Detective, The Secret Fate of All Life, written by Nick Pizzolatto. That was this finale, correct?
That's pretty strong. I mean, if that is the finale, that's a good, solidly written episode.
Yeah, I feel like that a lot of people called bullshit on that. No, I don't think that this is the sixth episode.
Oh,
this is where,
okay, number six is the one where they find out about the...
This is the one where they rescue the two girls from the Reggie Ledoux's trailer, the meth maker with the gas mask.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder why...
And also... Matthew McConaughey slept with Woody Harrelson's wife.
Is that true? Because I don't know.
Or something. Because I remember episode six being the episode where at the end he drives away with that broken taillight. I don't know.
It's interesting because there's been a lot of, I think, is unfounded bullshit about this Nick Pizzolatto being accused of plagiarizing lines.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in fact, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey actually make mention of that. It's like, well, you're the one who got all the plagiarized lines.
And of course, we got that. But
yeah, a lot of
the audience was like,
Yeah, it's I felt like that might have been, and maybe it's because, you know, we're really into the TV scene.
Sure.
But that was, you know, something that got discussed on Facebook. I know Nina Perez was talking about it on Project Fandom. People were talking about it on Grantland. I thought that would have gone over bigger or been more kind of ooh in the room, but it just kind of went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, and I got to give credit to whoever wrote that joke. I don't know if it was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, if they're that into the lore and the kind of mythos it's building around the show, or if it's writers writing for them.
Sure.
But somebody is up to date on their True Detective community stuff.
Yeah.
So good on them.
Let's see. Outstanding writer for a variety special. Don't really care.
Who cares?
Sarah Silverman, We Are Miracles, the only one I actually watched, and it won. So, hey, great.
All right.
Like outstanding writing for a miniseries, movie, or dramatic special. Sherlock won for Stephen Moffat. Up against American Horror Story Coven. Bitchcraft by Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk. Fargo by Crocodile's Dilemma by Noah Hawley. Luther by Neil Cross and The Normal Heart by Larry Kramer, or a Treme episode to Miss New Orleans written by David Simon and Eric Overmyer.
Your personal hero, David Simon.
No way David Simon's going to win an Emmy. So for Treme. So the other one thing I wanted to talk about is the in memoriam segment.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Where it was basically all the Robin Williams show.
Yeah. And that seems appropriate. Because
kind of.
So I have an interesting relationship with Robin Williams. Robin Williams combined with Bill Cosby are the first people I can consciously remember registering as funny that were not like cartoon characters, or like I started connecting them in a semi-adult way, and I was like, you know, five or six, seven years old when the heyday of like Robin Williams being on a Johnny Carson show, and also have like super fond memories of my dad would let me stay up late to watch Johnny Carson if the fucking Emu was on. And if you're a Johnny Carson fan, you probably know what I'm talking about. This guy would come up with a puppet of an Emu, and it would just run amok. It would attack guests. It would attack him. It would attack Johnny. It was hysterical for a six-year-old boy.
Yep.
And when Robin Williams would get on there, because he's just a fucking maniac. I mean, they showed some of the clips.
Yeah, yeah. They were funny.
He's just hilarious. And he's, you know, we didn't really talk about this because it's kind of like not in the Bald Move Ballywick, but, you know, Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting. He's also World's got that serious dad range.
Was fucking incredible.
It was. You
can see the Robin Williams in that movie, certainly, and why he chose that role, you know, given what he did in the end.
The black comedy, that my film God,
is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And it's the man died because he had untreated severe depression.
Sure.
And, you know, he had a lot of troubles in his life with drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was especially poignant how they ended with the bit he did where he was pretending to be his little boy.
Yep.
And I don't know. I got really super emotional. I'm not a huge Billy Crystal fan.
Got a little smoky in the room.
Got a little dusty in the room.
A little dusty.
Not a huge Billy Crystal fan, but I do know that they've worked together and they were friends, and it was kind of meaningful to have that guy come up there giving a little eulogy for him.
And I watched his, 400 Fridays or 400 Sundays or whatever it is.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I actually liked it.
Okay, because I thought it was too much Billy Crystal. I just seen the previews for it.
It's a little too much Billy Crystal. It's all Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
But he talks about, like, I didn't know that his dad had this record label, and it was like he's got a really super interesting history with his family growing up in and around Hollywood, and I just found it fascinating. And the way he tells the story is really engaging.
Yeah. And the fact that Robin Williams would go into his family and pretend to be a Jewish immigrant.
Yeah.
And go story to story, bullshit story, their real stories versus his bullshit, just making stuff up. That's
like the baseball story that he tells there is so touching because it's a story of them, these people understanding who Robin Williams is.
Uh-huh.
And Robin Williams getting delight out of entertaining these people.
Sure.
There's a connection and a back and forth there. And I think that was maybe, next to the Aaron Paul, Bryan Cranston, Anna Gunn stuff, I feel like that was the most touching part of the Emmys, certainly. Yeah. But I feel like they also kind of glossed over like a Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like he hasn't been around as long. And
plus,
done
he's
as
not a TV guy. I thought that they, you know what I'm saying? Like,
doesn't have a Mork and Mindy.
And same with the Oscars, like, you know, is this for television? Is it for movies? Is it okay to do both?
Yeah.
And that's fine if you do both, but some of these that I felt like that were more kind of movie star type roles. And then, you know, a lot of people were pissed that James Garner didn't get more of a send off because he's such a huge figure in television.
That's the thing, man. But I don't know how you dance that line.
And this happened just a week ago.
Yeah.
And like people are actively grieving about this.
Sure.
So I wish I'd actually come up with a list because I was surprised and shocked at how many people we lost. And that's kind of the way these segments
Bob
work.
Bob Hoskins.
Sure.
A lot of people this year.
Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Okay, yeah. I just don't know how you pay respect to everyone equally when people are
Peter
certainly
O'Toole, Christ.
Certainly not an equal part of our lives.
It seems like there's two ways to do it. And it's like, you know, I forget. I think Bill Simmons always calls it the hammer. The last person you see, that was Robin Williams. But then there's also the people that get like spoken, like snippets of dialogue, like the Peter O'Toole's. So there's like three categories. There's the people you've never heard of. They're behind the scenes guys. Then there's the people you've heard of, but they don't get clips. And there's people that get clips. And then there's the hammer. I wonder how they decide all that. Robin Williams seems like a no-brainer
this year. Yeah,
yeah, just like Philip Seymour Hoffman for, I believe, was the Hammer for the Oscars. Did he or did he die after that?
I don't know.
Shit.
I didn't watch the Oscars. I just don't know how you respect everyone when you give a spotlight to one person. That's tough.
Is that what? How do you feel about that segment as a whole? Then, like, is it appropriate?
I like it in concept, right? Yeah. The idea of honoring people who have given us so much entertainment and joy over the years is a good one. I just don't know how you're fair about it.
Shirley Temple is another know, huge Titanic name, but again, mostly in movies.
Yeah, so I don't know how you do that.
Mm.
I like to it. Be in the position of saying, we had Philip Seymour Hoffman and Peter O'Toole and all these guys die.
No, I like
this year,
it.
But and Robin Williams.
I like it in entirely the Kodak wheel nostalgia.
Sure.
You know, the nostalgia sense of the, like, you know, pang from an old memory kind of way that, you know, a lot of times you hear about this over the whole year. It's like, oh, it's tragic. It's bad. It's sad. But then just kind of see it all. And you know, it's also weird the older you get. Like, the more relevant this list becomes.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember sure a lot of people didn't give a shit
certainly.
That Robin Williams was dying, but Peter O'Toole, come on.
Yeah, no,
he's a classic actor. He is the name I'm there for. I can't believe they didn't respect him. So
I just remember being like a punk kid and, like, you know, not even getting like anybody. I hadn't heard of anyone on this list. And now it's like, ooh, these things are starting to hurt.
Sure. Philip Seymour Hoffman's a big one.
Sure. Well, I mean, just think about, I mean, just like people that were huge parts of me growing up, like even Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched Batman not even knowing it was a joke back when I was a kid, when I stayed home from six. Like, what happens when guys like him start dying? Johnny Carson died is huge for me.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what sucks by getting old. Death starts becoming a real menace in your life rather than some abstract concept.
Oh, man. It's gone dark.
Yep. Yep. Anything else you want to talk about in the Emmys, man?
Normal Heart got more nominations than anybody else.
Really?
Yep, 9 in total. Breaking Bad got 7. American Horror Story, Coven, and Fargo
Suck it, Jim Jones. I'm covering it. It's a it's the second highest Emmy nominated show for last year.
Oh, but who won those Emmys? That's what I'm questioning. Oh, it looks like Breaking Bad with 5 was the most. The biggest winner of the night.
Yeah.
Then Modern Family with 3 and American Horror Story, Coven with 2.
Downton Abbey more than Game of Thrones. Interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe because they're...
And Mad Men only got 3. Like, it's, you know... The Emmys is a weird show. And I know it's hard.
It's gotta be tough, yeah.
We've talked about, like, when you're talking about the Oscars and you're evaluating 6 to 12 best feature films and they're anywhere between 90 and 3 minutes and 3 hours long versus something that's between 13 and 30 hours long. It's an impossible task.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do it better. And this year wasn't the worst.
You have Bald Move vote on it.
You have Bald Move. Yeah, you just have, like Nina's running her Project Fandom fannies or whatever she's calling them.
The Bald Move vote is going to weigh heavily on next year's Emmys.
See, I don't like I don't like Baldies as a name for our fan, but I love it as an award.
The Baldies?
We should do the Baldies next year.
We should do the Baldies.
Have our own award show. Have our fans vote on it.
I'm down for the Baldies, yeah.
We can have our choice and then the fan choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
Write that down. We got to get that in our business document. Can't forget that shit.
It's done.
We'll have several thousand people remind us, I'm sure.
Probably.
That's all I got to say about it. If you'd like to give us feedback, you can do so at tv@baldmove.com. We'll be back. I got a lot more to talk about because I've gotten caught up on some shows and I've got some new ones like The Nick. I'd like to do this again next week. I don't know what you're feeling.
Sure. Yeah, there's some shows I want to catch up on, like Halt and Catch Fire.
Plus, which got renewed, surprisingly. Blew me away.
Yeah, let's not talk about it here, but we'll save it for next week. I feel like that's a little more evergreen than the Emmys.
All right. TV@baldmove.com if you'd like to give feedback, or follow along on Facebook.com/baldmove or pester Jim on Twitter @baldmove. That's all I got until the next podcast or until next week.
All right. See you then.